I'm very happy to welcome you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is so good to be here in his house and to see your faces and to have the opportunity to share together. If you would allow me, I would like to share just a couple of remarks as we begin our service this morning. As we prepared to gather here in this place and as I made preparation for this morning, the word covenant is foremost in my mind, and I hope it is in your minds as well as we gather today as a covenant people. You know, in the days of our Lord, in the Hebraic traditions and customs, when two people made a covenant, they shared together in a covenant meal, in a memorial meal, where they recited the terms of the covenant that they had entered into. And in very much that same spirit, we gather today for this meal that is set before us. And we will recite, as the emblems are blessed and prepared, the terms of the covenant that we have made with Jesus Christ. And we will remember the sacrifice that he paid for each one of us. Because truly it is his blood and his sacrifice that is the eternal sacrifice, the end all, if you will, that enables us to be a covenant people with our Father in heaven. And truly you are gathered here in this place as a people of covenant. The scriptures tell us that when we enter into the waters of baptism, not only do we make a covenant with our Father in heaven, but we become a member of his chosen nation, his house of Israel. And we become heirs of the promises that were given even to Father Abraham, and that were extended down through his posterity to the house of Israel. And this very country that we live in, and this very place, this geographic place in which we are assembled this morning, is a fulfillment of the covenant, of the promise that God made to Abraham, and the blessings that would be granted to his seed in the latter days. And we stand today as Americans, as a people, in a very important week for our nation, a very important time, as we prepare to exercise our liberty and our freedom and to cast our vote for the leader of our country. And I would certainly encourage you to consider that responsibility. And I would encourage you this morning to remember this land of promise that we are so privileged to live in, and the covenant that God has made with his people Israel, that he will remember and will fulfill in these latter days. And so to begin our worship this morning, we're going to sing together hymn number 482, which is God of Our Fathers. That hymn is very special to me, not only because it is the hymn that Vanessa and I chose for the congregation to sing at our wedding, but it is special because of the heritage that it speaks to in our country. God of Our Fathers was written by a gentleman named Daniel Roberts in 1876. He was a minister in a small Methodist congregation, and he wrote it as they were preparing to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence of the United States. And they sang it originally to a different tune. He submitted it a few years later to a committee that was working on a hymnal for the Methodist Church. And one of the people involved in that process was an organist who had been chosen to help select a national hymn to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Constitution of the United States. And that man's name was George Warren, and he wrote the tune which we sing to these words today. And in 1892, the version as we know it was used on a national basis to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Constitution of the United States. And I think the words could not be more appropriate than to our day and time than ever before. The words were based on the 46th Psalm, and so for our call to worship, I would like to read a few verses from Psalm 46. And I would ask you this morning to listen to these words, to think about the gentle and fragile state that our nation is in at this moment, and to think about the promises that we know God has made to his covenant people in these latter days. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth shall be removed, and though the mountains shall be carried into the midst of the sea, and the waters thereof roar, being troubled, and the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And now from verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he shall make in the earth in the latter days. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire and saith unto the nations, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts shall be with us, the God of Jacob, our refuge. Selah. So I would ask this morning as we sing this hymn that you do so in a spirit of longing that the Lord truly will remember and fulfill his covenants to his people in these latter days, and that he will be with us as we remember our covenant with him today in this time of worship.
My Lord, my God, how great thou art, and how unknowable, how unsearchable thou art, and thy goodness is. I pray thee, Father, knowing in your great condescension you have given mankind certain promises, which, if two or three be gathered in thy name, there you will be in the midst of them. And so I pray thee, Father, thy promise be fulfilled this day, that your Spirit would be among all the families gathered here in the congregation this morning. May it rest heavily upon the speaker of the hour also, that his words may be amplified according to the Holy Spirit, and that those words be sealed in truth and multiplied upon all the souls who hear and partake of it. I pray thee, Father, the glory be thine forever and ever. In Christ's name, amen.
Will you pray with us now as we prepare for the collection of our offerings and oblations? Our Father who art in heaven, as we continue now in worship before you, we are thankful for your Spirit that is here with us. And we ask, Father, that Spirit to continue with us and to bless the offerings which will now be brought by thy people. May they be, Father, for your work and your purposes and for the benefit of your kingdom. And we ask and pray this very humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. As I look out amongst you, it's good to see some faces I haven't seen in a while. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for this beautiful day that the Lord has created for us, and I'm really thankful for the lovely weather that we've enjoyed this weekend, and I'm thankful to be here at Buckner with my church family. I'm thankful for this opportunity to serve God. I'm thankful to be a member of His priesthood. There's a saying that men of achievement say, we stood on the shoulders of giants. I'm thankful to serve with giants. These men up here mean more to me than you could ever know. I'm also thankful to be a citizen of this land, choice above all others. We are privileged to live in a land where we have the freedom of religious choice, and as citizens, we have an opportunity to take part in that great experiment called democracy. My fervent prayer is that everyone will exercise that single most important responsibility of citizenship, and that is the right to vote. This morning, I'm going to share a few thoughts about the significance of the Lord's Supper. I want to read a few verses from John chapter 6. Christ has crossed the Sea of Galilee and was followed by a great multitude because they had seen his miracles. He had walked on water, healed the lame and disfigured. He had fed the 5,000 from the loaves and fishes. And he is speaking now to this same multitude and to his disciples. And I begin at verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the resurrection at the last day. When we consider the examples of types and shadows that have come down to us through biblical history, perhaps the most important is found when comparing Passover and our communion, where it is understood that Jesus Christ replaced the Jewish Passover with the Lord's Supper. The original Passover was a sacramental meal eaten by the children of Israel the night before they left Egypt. A lamb was sacrificed according to strict instructions, whereupon the blood was sprinkled upon the doorposts and lintels of their homes. And when this was done, the destroying angel passed over the children of Israel, and they were preserved. The remembrance of this miracle by the Jewish people has continued down through the ages for over 3,000 years. When our Lord came and reestablished his church, he took the feast of the Passover and changed its form, designating himself as that perfect sacrifice. This is confirmed in the first chapter of John. John the Baptist saw Christ from afar and cried out, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. In addition, there are supportive parallels. The lamb that was sacrificed in Egypt must be without blemish, and Jesus, the Lamb of God at Calvary, was without blemish. No bones may be broken of that sacrificial lamb, and no bones were broken of Christ on the cross. The blood on the doorway in Egypt caused that the people of Israel were delivered from death, and the blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary delivers us, the Gentile, anybody that believes on Him, from eternal death. Through Christ, Gentiles are depicted as wild olive branches grafted onto the vine, which is Christ, and are therefore adopted as members of the nation of Israel. We share in the privileges and blessings. These are some examples, and there are more. But there are things of greater significance. When we are baptized, we enter into a covenant with God and are delivered from eternal death by the blood of Christ. Communion is how we observe and remember this covenant. During the Last Supper, Jesus Christ took bread and broke it and gave it to His disciples and did the same with the cup of wine. And today, we do the same thing with these emblems of His body as the Jews did in the remembrance of the Passover. This communion that is before you, this sacrament meal, is our Passover feast. Jesus takes these symbols of His sacrifice and makes them speak to us spiritually of a meaning and reality that lies deeper. There are many symbols in the world. The flag is a symbol of our nation. Rings that we exchange when we marry are a symbol of love and devotion between a man and the woman he marries. A handshake is a symbol of a fair deal. A salute from a soldier is a symbol of duty and honor and loyalty. But these symbols are not essential symbols. And they are not able to be essential symbols. An essential symbol is one that, when enacted, it brings about that which it stands for. And the sacrament of communion is an essential symbol. When we worthily partake of the bread and wine in the true spirit of communion with our Lord, He graces us with His Holy Spirit. This is promised in the last sentence of both the prayer of the bread and the wine, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. We partake as the children of Israel partook, described by Paul. And they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The Jews were perplexed when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life, and you must eat my flesh and drink my blood." And they were confused because they thought rationally and literally about something that is spoken to us spiritually. Because God does not always speak to us in words. Sometimes there are things our Heavenly Father has enabled for us that communicate outside of words. God communicates to us in the speech of action, symbolic action, which is something that must be partaken of or performed or accomplished in order to accomplish His will. Symbolic action plays an important part in the steadfast life of a member of the RLDS Church. And I say that because I still claim and profess without shame that I am a member of the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I love that name. The covenant that we are remembering is a blood covenant which is the result of sacrifice. Our communion is a way that God has devised for our symbolic action of partaking. to enable God to speak to us in a way that cannot be done otherwise. The result is that His Spirit will dwell within us, and His accompanying love will speak to our hearts in a way that words cannot. And that love is the motivation for the kingdom of God. His love for us is greater than we know. It is greater than our love for ourselves. And the only instrument that love has by which it is to accomplish its specific purpose is sacrifice. There is no other. Love and sacrifice go together. And not only this, sacrifice which is prompted by love enters into the very love that prompts it and enriches it and deepens it and strengthens it. Who can plumb the depths of such love? Perhaps a prophet who gives his life, bringing forth the fullness of the everlasting gospel. Or perhaps a son who nevertheless bows to his Father's will and gives his life to pay the debt of sin for all mankind. When we worthily partake of these emblems, we return again to closeness with God. We draw near, we commune with God as in communion. And in return, it brings His Spirit to be with us, and the Spirit of Christ's sacrifice fills us with His love. And that loving Spirit will continue in us as we seek to practice what this love wishes for us to do. When God speaks unto our hearts, the thing He wants us to do by His Spirit, we must move out in action. That way, the Spirit that prompts us is secure in us and grows within us until we can finally say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Our God would not make it a commandment unto the nation of Israel that they perform this Passover celebration all these thousands of years for no reason. Neither does it say on our Lord's Supper table before us, this do in remembrance of me for no good reason. I believe that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Zion, will be an outgrowth or a result of the sacrifice of ourselves to the Spirit of God that is renewed through our communion. Our Heavenly Father instructs those who are baptized into this church to come together on a regular basis, united, at this very table that is before you now, loving each other and serving each other, willing to sacrifice, just as God loves us, just as He sacrificed His Son for us. And this is to give us a pattern of what it will be like to love and serve our neighbor and all people in the building of His kingdom and in Zion. As we minister this beautiful morning and partake of these sacred emblems, let us center our hearts on Jesus Christ, so that we may receive the promised indwelling of that good Spirit, which will prompt and encourage us to do that which is good and righteous. And it will help us to put away those things that are in our lives which each one of us, myself included, knows to be an impediment to the coming of His kingdom. It will help us to build Zion. In closing, may our communion service be one of honest introspection of self without going action that is directed by the indwelt Holy Spirit. And my prayer this morning is that we will find Jesus Christ dwelling in our hearts so that we will be able to present Him in our lives unto all the world. Amen.
As the prayer is given over the bread, might we kneel together facing the emblems. O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments, which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen. Did anyone miss their portion that we should partake? As the prayer is offered over the wine, let us once again kneel facing the emblems. O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen. anyone miss their portion of the wine that wishes to partake? I'd like to offer a prayer if you would bow your heads with me. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we come to remember this day. And we come with thankful hearts that you first loved us, O God, that you've called us out of obscurity, that we might know of your goodness and the love that you have for all your creation. And you have said, O God, that those that have loved your Son would be persecuted. And we know that day is before us and is now set at our doorstep. And so I pray, dear God, that that which comes forward in the days ahead, that this, your people, might stand fast in the knowledge and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, that they might have an abundance of your Spirit and have that faith increased, that they might always know with a surety that your love abounds the trials of this world, praying, O God, that we would not be anxious for anything of the world, but only looking forward to your kingdom come with an eye single to thy glory. I pray, dear God, that all that we do might be about your business, might be about the coming forth of thy kingdom, and not for our good, but for yours. We thank you, God, for entrusting us to this time and place and our lot in life that we can live out the full measure of our creation. I ask a blessing upon this body and the homes in which they represent. Won't you encourage them? And like our young sister said this morning, oh God, won't you give them the ability for that long suffering and endurance? We thank you for the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, knowing that he did all these things that we might come into thy presence. And so I ask this blessing in the precious name of your Son and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I would ask that you join with us now in singing hymn number 201 as we close our worship this morning. 201. In the sacred and holy name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of his priesthood assembled here, I would now pronounce a benediction upon this hour of worship and the blessings of our Heavenly Father upon each of you. Know that he has heard your prayers this day, and that he will bless each of you as you seek to fulfill the terms of your covenant with him. And now, Father, we pray for your Spirit to go with us and before us until we are together again, in the most sacred and holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.